This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm so excited to get to work with Caleb. Got to visit with him already for a couple hours, and I'm just really waiting for this relationship to blossom, because that's what it comes down to. He's got to trust me, and I'm going to trust him, and this thing's going to work.
That was Ben Johnson talking to Fox Sports 1. Do we know anybody who works there? I thought Danny was on OLN. That was my assumption.
Who's Danny?
Shout out to Danny Parkins. Wait, shout out to Danny Parkins. So, Ben Johnson, of course, talking to Danny Parkins and the Fox Sports 1 crew upon being hired as Bears head coach. We got to see a little bit of a snippet when Ben Johnson walked into the room at Halas Hall. I think that was contraband video, but YouTube and Twitter kept reposting it. The Bears YouTube channel, which if you listen to me, you know I love. There's a lot of gems on that channel. There really are. The Bears YouTube channel dropped a behind-the-scenes video of Ben Johnson and his family meeting the crew at Halas Hall, Bears employees and the like, and then also got into some behind-the-scenes interviews when it came to a little bit of what he said in his introductory press conference. And then they also showed that as a different look. This came out over the weekend. So I wanted to bring you some of the finer points, I think, of that piece of video and what Johnson had to say, because it's a little different from what we've heard before, and I appreciated the Bears shedding a little bit of new light on this.
I spent a lot of time coming up during the summers to see Chicago Cubs games, and I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with the people up here. Number two, I believe in the structure that we have in place, from George to Kevin to Ryan. There's going to be complete alignment in everything that we're doing. I love the team that Ryan's already assembled, and we'll look to continue to build. And finally, I wanted to stay in this division. This is a good division. Three teams made the playoffs. I have a lot of respect for the talent and the coaches that are in this, but anything worth doing and fulfilling is the hard thing to do. It's the hard way. And so I embrace this challenge of being in the NFC North, and I can't wait to get started.
I don't know that any
so
state secrets.
So I ended
secrets.
Up getting a call from Poles and Kevin and Ted and George, all been on the same line, and said, congrats, we got our coach. I gave off a nice little, I guess you can say, roar or a yell while I was driving. I'm off of pure excitement.
How are you?
Good, you?
Wonderful.
Nice to hear Caleb Williams say that he gave a little roar, because the image of him leaning on the bench being as defeated as people watching the game will stick with me for a while until something better happens. But I needed to hear that. I did not know we were playing the Caleb Williams part back to back. Sorry about that, Alex. I appreciated, though, Ben Johnson leaning into the challenge portion, because I don't know that that was discussed as much or as succinctly in the press conference. And also, what do you think, White Sox Talk podcast leader Ryan McGuffey, about him saying that he only went to Cubs games?
I don't care. I would have too.
It's silly. I mean, I had to laugh at that just because it's us hosting today.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm yeah. I get it. Like, he was a young guy wanting to come to the city with his wife, girlfriend at the time, wife, and made a trip to Chicago in the summer. To me, that's a smart guy. A guy that wants to come to the greatest summer city in the world once a year in the summer. Go where everyone else. Wrigley Field on a Friday afternoon. Tough to beat that. Tough to beat that. I don't care if he doesn't.
The Friday 120 is quite the scene, as you and I both know.
Yeah, I had plenty of Friday 120s in my 20s. Friday 120s in my Friday 120 in my 20s.
I went to the last Friday 120 of last season. It was good times. I'm not in my 20s.
Neither am I.
Him embracing, though, the challenge is, I think, something that we maybe don't give enough coaches enough credit for. You know, over the weekend, we hear about players saying they don't want to be the face of something, or somebody not necessarily being a good fit for the pressure that comes with, say, being here, right? As much as you talked in the first hour, Ryan, about hope and how we sell it and how we're good at believing it, there's still a lot of criticism and scrutiny that comes with being the head coach of the Bears that you're not going to get in every other city. Having worked in many, I know.
Yeah, I think, you know, we always, winning the press conference, we give out more trophies in this city for that than we do to actual teams.
What are you talking about? Not on the midday show. That's never happened.
Yep.
But I'm going to die getting struck by lightning in the next segment.
But that was as eloquent and jacked up and positive of a feel that I've had after, because it felt like he checked the box. Like, he felt like an educated human being took a job that he knows exactly what he's getting into.
And he was confident enough to tell you about some basic schematic principles of what he wants to do. I feel like so many times in the NFL specifically, we let coaches slide because, oh, well, we don't want to discuss personnel because it's scheme. Wrong personnel is not scheme. Personnel is personnel. Your scheme is your scheme. And if your personnel is tied to your scheme, then guess who knows it? The entire rest of the league. So be confident enough and tell people what you're going to do. If you're a team that can run the ball down somebody's throat, you're going to tell them, we're going to run the ball down your throat. Try and stop us.
Here's what,
like,
I love.
Do you
about
really
him.
Need to be, you're confident in what you got because your athletes are going to do it for you.
Well, here's what I love too. We're not, this is not Detroit. I'm not walking in here with my binder saying, here's my offense. We're going to learn it. He said, we're ripping this thing up and we're starting from scratch because we have different personnel that has different capabilities, different upsides, different strengths, different weaknesses. And I love, outside of the opening statement when he was thanking his agent and his family, et cetera, and the Bears, unscripted. He looked people, if you asked the question, Layla, he looked you right in the eye. When he looked over to his left and the players who were there, Caleb, DJ, Rome, missing someone. When he looked over there, Cole Kmet. When he said, today, it starts today, and you guys are going to be held to a high standard, and he's looking right at the players when he said it, that's what felt different. He wasn't a guy who's like, I need to stay in my lane. I need to read from the script. I need to be prepared. I need to say all of the right things. He didn't call the Packers out. He called Matt LaFleur out. By name, I look forward to coaching and beating Matt LaFleur. I mean, okay. Yes. Now, again, how does that translate to the football field? We'll see. But this is the best coaching staff the Bears have ever had from a start of a career and start of a regime than any coaching staff the Bears have ever had.
It's expensive, too.
Yep.
And again, give the Bears credit where it's due in spending the money. Not just the head coach. Your DC has head coaching experience. Every single coach at respective positions has some sort of experience relative that is tangible and makes sense relative to the role they're in. I understand Declan Doyle is young, but he's still, when you look at the resume, it makes sense as to why he was put in that particular role.
And that's what Ben said he was going to do. I'm going to hire a young guy who I think could be a future head coach in this game that's going to do the grunt work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to put the game plan together.
And my wish is there are not a lot of yes men. That you have people who are bold enough to contradict you and look at your blind spots and you don't take it personally. Because I feel like that happens so many times on staffs as well. And the reason you're good is because that person challenges you and it's not necessarily challenging your authority. it's making the product better. And I think that comes back to confidence. What is your level of confidence in yourself as the leader of the team to be able to say, this person isn't attacking me, they're trying to make us better by pointing this out because I'm not? You know, you've got to have that varying opinion. I think that's the only way you really succeed. There was more from Ben Johnson on the Bears YouTube video that just dropped.
Standing on the opposite sideline from him this year, I gained a tremendous amount of respect for not only the talent level that he possesses, but also the type of person he is. And this is going to be really, I like to fancy it, the quarterback's offense.
Let's go, baby. Let's do it.
We are going to tailor this right around Caleb Williams. It will not be necessarily what you've seen from me the last 3 years. We're going to find out exactly what our quarterback does well, and that's really where we're going to anchor on.
Our first time speaking, we address things that won't work, doesn't work, to be able to lead teams and organizations to go win and win big games.
How refreshing. I don't care. I could hear that said a million times between now and training camp, and I will be happy about it every single time.
Yeah. Yes. I just am done. I've said at the top, you know, hope and faith. I love hearing it. I want to see it. I just want to see it. I'm a big Caleb guy. I think there's so much there that's untapped. And the fact that he had the numbers that he had, no one's going to give him credit for. He didn't even finish with the top eight of vote getters for Rookie of the Year. Find me a rookie that had to go through more of a challenge than Caleb Williams this year. Number one pick, fired coaches, plural. You had an offensive coordinator who didn't even know how to communicate with him. And still, through only just six, yeah, he got sacked 68 times and took a bulk of them. The fact that he threw for 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, six picks, ran for another 498 or whatever it was. Honestly, I know they didn't win a lot of games. Not all Caleb's fault. They lost a couple of those games that he led them to game-winning drives. The Washington Commanders Hail Mary, the Green Bay Packers field goal, blocked field goal. Even the last game of the year, the final drive to beat the Packers. If you're not seeing that, that has not happened. Justin Fields was not that guy. Mitch Trubisky could not do that. We've saw enough. And now you're talking about really good people are going, well, look at Drake May. There were good systems in place for some of these guys. They didn't go through the adversity and the challenges that Caleb Williams did. Now, if it doesn't work, at least I know where I can point the finger.
Right. And that's where I've said, I love that Ryan Poles did this. I love that he is trying to correct mistakes. Has he earned an extension with me, Laila Rahimi? No.
But
I got a lot of pushback for that. Your first winning season as a GM. But, then maybe we can talk.
But Layla, that's not how it's like signing a max player to an NBA contract. Not how it works.
One was ordained in a CBA. The other is elective. So that's where
it's kind of a forced elective, though.
It does. That's another conversation. But when it comes to,
I'm not saying give him 5 years. I'm just saying maybe you have to add 1 year of paper. I get it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I do think, though, in this case, when we're talking about what Ben Johnson should be doing for Caleb Williams, I don't know how to quantify this, and I try every day, but you're right. The coaching matters. There are so many coaches in love with offensive concepts that are just so untenable in the real-world scenario on the field in the NFL. One of the biggest things I learned from Aaron Rodgers, whether or not we want to admit it, is that Aaron Rodgers knew exactly what play was going to work and what wasn't pre-snap. That's a gift. That's how you get from good to great. And there are so many times where he was remixing plays on the field real time, where he was seeing the mismatches. When you hear Ben Johnson talk about building an offense around the quarterback to his strengths, you see it in the proof of what happened with Jared Goff, a quarterback that many people wrote off.
Almost everyone.
And that point is, in the league, so many times these quarterbacks are written off. And you can't tell whether it's the eye test of what you're talking about. For example, did you watch all the games? Tell me what you're seeing. Did you watch all the plays? Or are you just watching the highlights, watching them fail and understanding why it occurred? Those are two very different things. When you put in the work and you see which players and which coaches are helping them thrive, then it makes more sense. The problem is there's not enough time. You know, you can't watch every game every week and see what's going on.
Leadership
for
matters.
For every team. You can do it for one team. You can do it for two. But in this case, you've got to appreciate him putting Caleb Williams first over his concepts. He's not coming in here saying, I have the greatest offense.
No.
He's saying, I'm going to do what needs to work for this individual.
And that's the part I love hearing. But I'm going to put you on the spot here. Talking about leadership and coaching. Let's say there you had five chances. You could pick five coaches in the NFL right now. Any coach. Take Ben Johnson out of the equation.
All right.
Who are you picking?
Shanahan, Reed. I would have to say O'Connell.
Okay.
KOC.
Yep.
Shanahan, Reed, KOC. Gets a little dicey Matt LaFleur.
And Dan Campbell. Like, they're in the conversation.
Campbell,
maybe
yeah.
You have Sean McVay in that mix.
I was just going to say McVay.
Sean
McVay.
My point is, three of the six that you're picking from are likely from the NFC North. You want to know why Jared got, like, the system, it wasn't just Ben Johnson. Dan Campbell gave his coaches autonomy. I'm going to be the CEO. I trust you to get this thing right. Matt LaFleur, as good as they get. Sam Darnold's going to be a $100 million quarterback. He's going to be a $45 million quarterback a year because of what he did, what KOC did. He gets adversity right out of the gate, right? J.J. McCarthy tears his meniscus. He's out for the year. All right, don't go out shopping. We got a guy right here. We can make this work. He wins 14 games with Sam Darnold, who his career is completely born again. And I know it didn't look good the last two games, but that dude probably stays in Minnesota at a high rate.
Once again,
good coaching.
Like, coaches will break quarterbacks.
They also will make quarterbacks.
I always found it interesting, like last year when Caleb was during the draft process, the hype was crazy.
Yep.
Like you heard the comparisons, but anybody that watched him would tell you that he needs to learn how to play within the structure of an offense. And how do you evaluate how he did that in his rookie year when there was no structure in the offense?
None.
So,
like, none.
Doesn't it feel like right now we haven't even been able to evaluate an eighth of what we have to get to a full evaluation of what he is?
And that's why, Alex, I feel like if you really look at his line from a 30,000 foot view, I'm blown away that he did what he did. I am, because he did most of that he did freelancing.
Well, and how many times did you even hear the field microphone pick up him saying, can't do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't block now, this. Can't do it.
I don't want to sit here and be like, you know, well, it was all coach. Caleb had issues too. There were players in that room who questioned his work ethic down the stretch. And maybe he tapped out, but you can't tap out regardless of what you can't. Can't tap out.
That's my biggest question when it comes to hearing. You and I talked about this, I think, for infinity while we covered the White Sox at NBC Sports Chicago. Was we know when coaches are trying, or managers in that case, trying to send a message to players. And when the same thing kept getting brought up, I'm always like, who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you talking about right now?
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking about a concept. You're calling out one player when you say this. So who is it?
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely, we'll see. I'm curious to see how the messaging is going to be. I'm curious to see, too, if some of these guys, if not everyone's back next year. You know, will there be eight captains again? I don't think that matters. People made, there doesn't need to be eight captains. I don't have a problem with eight captains. They're voted on by the players. But a lot of them talk. So we'll see. But a lot of them talk usually because there's cracks in the system. Those cracks need to be fixed.
Yeah, because that's it. Yeah, you can coach as hard as you can, but if the players aren't doing the things you need, then that's an issue,
too. Well, they don't respect you. If you're coaching from the back of the room, Mark Trestman, then no one's going to listen.
I haven't heard any of that. I've heard some of it. I haven't heard all of it, but what I did hear, I haven't heard most of it. I can't do it right now. It's too much jet lag. I can't do it off of memory.
You're doing well. You're doing well.
I haven't heard any of that. We got to take another break.
Old friend alert
Ryan
coming
McGuffey
up.
Ryan McGuffey and I are late. We Ryan McGuffey and Layla Rahimi. We did work together at NBC Sports Chicago. You know who else we worked with? Mark Schanowski.
My friend.
He's with ABC 7. He does play-by-play for the Windy City Bulls and the Bulls, and you know him from the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. We're going to talk about Bulls Emas with him coming up next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Bernstein and Harris.
Bill, you're on the score.
Dan, I don't always like you, but I seem to lean your way most of the time.
Middays 10 till 2.
Thanks. Well phrased.
And now, from the Chicago Bulls, Modest Food Salad.
Nice to hear Tim Sinclair always. Modest Buzelis, the lone participant for the Bulls for All-Star Weekend, slam dunk contest, ended up participating in Rising Stars as well. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Ryan McGuffey and Layla Rahimi, filling in for Dan and Marshall. We're working on trying to make this a very CSN Chicago heavy show. RIP to the network formerly known as Comcast Sportsnet. Do we have Mark Schanowski yet? We're working on it. Mark's got a lot of things to do, man. He's got the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. He's got to call Bulls games. Mark is everywhere.
Yeah, well, he's our guy. He's probably I should tell him he doesn't need to put makeup on for this appearance, you know?
I didn't everything. Put any makeup on today, and I feel great about my decision.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a radio show, not
Layla,
a TV show.
Layla, why do you look tired? Because I don't wear makeup sometimes.
Do you really care about what people say?
It's when it gets all together. Like, it's when the comments compile on themselves, and I'm like, oh, yeah. God.
And then you start looking at the same area code?
No, I'm not area... Okay, here's the myth, is that certain area codes get bad raps. But I'm here to tell you that... Like, for example...
What would you give the 219?
I have as much fairness in my 815 conversations as that exists. They're even Steven.
Have you gotten a sense... You've been here long enough to understand, like, know where those area codes are in the Chicagoland area?
One of the first things I did was try to familiarize myself with that.
With area codes?
Yes. Just locations and therein.
Yeah. You can hide behind one, though. Like, mine. Like, I have an old one.
I definitely have an old one.
Me, too. Mine's, like, where I grew up. I mean, I've lived here longer than I've lived in the region. But shout out to the region, because, you know.
Yeah, shout out to the region.
Never forget where you come from.
Yeah. I appreciate that somehow a generic term such as the region describes a specific place. Yep. That is a skill in marketing.
Well, we have little man syndrome over there, so... We do. It's fine. It's that little... when you hear Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana dealers, that's because, you know, we don't give... That's that little pocket.
I went to a directional public school in Texas. I don't put on airs. I don't understand why superiority complexes are a thing, but that's just
social
me.
Media.
You know? No, but that existed way before social media.
Well, it's way more out there now.
Yeah.
We're really getting philosophical here.
I mean, that's a midday show thing. I feel like that happens as we're still waiting for Mark. I do want to ask Mark about, there were quite a few things that went down while I was out of town.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Bulls, you mean?
Saying things that rhyme. Like, for example, Lonzo Ball got extended after the All-Star break. I would like to talk to Mark Schanowski about this.
But then there's that report from The Athletic late last week that they were offered a first-round pick for him. I read enough about why the Lonzo Ball extension was a good idea. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust the people, the Casey Johnsons, the Joe Collies of the world, that it makes sense, until I heard about the first-round pick offer.
Let's ask him himself. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline is Mark Schanowski of ABC 7 Chicago, the Chicago Windy City Bulls broadcast, Chicago Bulls broadcast, and Give Me the Hot Sauce. Download the Circa app today. Yeah, Mark, it's good to talk to you with you, me, and Ryan McGuffey.
I like to talk. It's an NBC Sports Chicago reunion today, my man.
Really is.
Yeah, we should be sitting in the basement of the Sun-Times building, that lovely office space, you know?
That basement was underrated. I used to tell people I worked in the basement of a Holiday Inn when they asked me what I did for
That basement.
Nobody followed up after that.
That basement being underrated is the last thing I would ever call that. But it would be 72 and sunny on a day like today.
You know, the world could be ending all around us that we wouldn't know about it.
There were times it was, and it was like, you know, hey, what's for dinner?
The worst thing was when there was a big snowstorm, and you're thinking everything's okay, and you walk out, and it's Armageddon out there. You're like, how am I going to get home?
See, I'm here for the avoidance of it, so that's why I appreciated the basement. We could hide in there pretty easily.
Mark and I had so many... So Mark and I sat across from each other for years, literally shared cubicles, and we were the first... We were what we call ourselves, the Walmart greeters. Now I have no problem saying this because we're done and the place is abandoned. So we were the Walmart greeters, and depending on who was walking in, there would be times where like, oh God, here they come, and we would bail. It's the first time I've ever said that publicly, but Mark knows exactly what I'm talking about. We'd get each other's back.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, I should have gotten an extra bump in my pay just for having all the people I had to talk to walking in. You know, Cap had the show, at 5:30, and I had to greet everybody who came in.
Oh my God!
Everything, and it was like, hey, I've got a show coming up at 6:30. I got things to do, but you know, yeah. It was unbelievable. I mean, there were times where just looking for somewhere to hide.
Wait a second. You guys' cubicles were always empty when I walked in. I'm kidding.
I mean, here we are.
Okay, so Mark, let's pick up where we left off here. Ryan McGuffey and I are talking about the Lonzo, the business that was done over the past week after the trade deadline. Lonzo Ball gets extended, and the report does come out in The Athletic about the first-round pick. What were your thoughts when you saw that? And my immediate question was, what year was that first-round pick in that report? You know, I think that does come into play there.
Well, I think that's only half the story, though, Layla. The problem is that in any NBA trade to be made, you have to match the money. And the reports failed to mention that what they wanted the Bulls to do was take back a contract that had multiple years on it. So, yes, the first-round pick is great, but if you get a player that you don't like that has two or three more years left on his deal, then you really didn't win that much because you're tied your hands financially. Now, I'm not here, obviously, to try to, you know, make excuses for why they didn't make a trade, but it was only half of the story was reported, which unfortunately happens a lot in the media these days. You know, I think that they value Lonzo. You know, watching Lonzo play has been really kind of inspirational for him to come back after not playing for 2.5 years and play as hard as he does and still have the basketball instincts and the defensive skills that he has is a remarkable story and probably has been underreported around the league. You know, the contract they gave him is not terrible in that the second year is a team option. And if he's able to stay healthy, which of course I know is a huge if, he could be a contributing player to their team because he's only 27.
I want to get into your thoughts on the All-Star stuff from last night, but let's follow up on the Bulls real quick because I felt like after the Zach trade, and maybe even after the blockbuster with Luka, that kind of broke the dam and it was like, okay, here we go. Are we going to get teams that play the desperate card? And shortly after that Sunday night, we find out Zach's a part of a trade going to Sacramento, and I'm thinking, great, this is what needs to happen. There's going to be 4 days here where five or six Bulls are on the move, and then we get to Thursday, and it's dried up. And I'm maybe as confused now about the future direction of the Bulls as I was before the Zach trade. And then you have AK going, you know, to the press conference saying the play-in tournament and playoffs. He's using the P words, and I'm like, what is going on? So can you help clear up the confusion and direction of the Bulls, because I feel lost?
Well, there were reports on the national level that the Bulls front office is difficult to deal with because they will pull out of trades at the last minute or try to change the parameters of the deal at the last minute. So I think that's part of the problem, and that other teams, you know that it's difficult to finally strike a deal and close it with the Bulls. So I think they probably have talked to teams around the league about a Nikola Vucevic trade or Alonzo Ball trade, or maybe even younger guys like Kobe White or Ayo Dosunmu. And then, you know, when it comes to time, that, all right, should we call the league office? Do we have a deal? Let me think about it a little bit. And the deal never gets done. And that's no way to set the direction, you know, in terms of trying to do a pretty significant rebuild. AK came in, and to his credit, they did a really good job in 2021 of putting together a team that played really well. But then, you know, when Lonzo got hurt and things started to unravel, too slow at the draw to try to change things around. They had some players that were marketable. You know, namely, you look back to a year ago when they had Alex Caruso and every contending team was looking at him as a potential final piece on a championship team. They could have gotten at least one first-round pick, if not more than that, and they held on to him too long, and then they decided to trade him for Josh Giddey, which, you know, has mixed results, especially considering Giddey's going to want a huge contract at the end of this year. Mm. So, you know, you can go back over the history of what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years and really wonder why they weren't able to accomplish more. It almost seems like this front office doesn't particularly value draft picks. You know, AK does not meet the media a lot, but he said that, you know, he wanted to acquire young veterans who could grow together, who have a track record in the league. Well, that's all well and good, but, you know, there's really two ways of building a championship team. You either carve out cap space and land big in free agency, or you do a steady build with high draft picks. And right now, the Bulls aren't doing either, which puts them in a difficult position in terms of trying to compete with so many good teams, not only in the Eastern Conference, but throughout the entire league.
Oh, that's a massive... Mark, I feel like you just brought up seven topics that we could go on about for the next hour. The concept of doing business with the Bulls front office, I think, is a huge piece of this discussion. That's not... Because you always know how to find the best pieces of information at the best times. That's what you do. But that part of it, I think, is not widely reported. What you talked about with deals in principle versus deals that actually occur.
Yeah, that was a report nationally on The Athletic. John Hollinger saying that, you know, they were actually it was a column rating front offices, which are the best to deal with, which are the worst, and that was mentioned in passing. So, you know. Obviously, that's kind of a hearsay argument. You don't know exactly what went on behind the scenes, but if there is that perception that you know, the Bulls are reluctant to close deals, if you've got multiple options on the table, you're going to go elsewhere because you feel like, well, I want to get something done today or in the near future, and I can't wait for someone to take their time before they make a final decision.
This probably feels like an impossible question, knowing currently where the Bulls are. How far away are they from being a top four seed again?
Well, they have to get lucky in the lottery, obviously. You know, adding Cooper Flagg would help, but they're probably going to finish with somewhere between the 7th and 10th worst record in the NBA, and they're going to have very small odds to get that pick. You know, it's funny. People are talking about this being a generational draft and, you know, being so many franchise-changing players in it. And since, you know, I have a lot of free time on my hands, I watch a lot of college basketball. And I've seen a lot of these players. And outside of Cooper Flagg, there's no sure bets anywhere. I think Ron Harper's kid, Dylan, is going to be a really nice pro. He's kind of like a poor man's Cade Cunningham, but I don't think he's a franchise changer. You know, his teammate Ace Bailey is wild and erratic, and his basketball IQ doesn't look that good. And you can go on and on down the list. So, you know, that's the problem with building through the draft is that you know if you don't get a top three pick and you're between 7 and 10, like, which it looks like the Bulls are going to be, you know, you'll get a nice player, a rotational guy, but it's not a guy that's going to change the franchise. That's why we've seen so many teams getting repeated high picks that flounder for years. The one success story that's been interesting to watch this year has been the Pistons. They've drafted well over the last 3 or 4 years, and now they've got a winning record and will most likely be a top six team, which is a real testament to what you can do if you're patient and you build through the draft.
Well, and then on the flip side of that is as talented as I thought the Pistons were, of course, they had that atrocious losing streak last year. Mark, I want to ask you about this too. Knowing what you saw in All-Star Weekend, what do you think is the best route for the NBA to try to incentivize something better moving forward?
It's got to be USA versus the world. Yep. I mean, we've seen what hockey's done with the Four Nations thing, and these guys are playing so hard. The dropping the gloves at the start of the USA-Canada game and having multiple fights. I mean, these guys want to represent their country. There's so much pride in who has the best hockey nation, and to watch those games and see how hard they're playing, it looks like almost every game is like Game 7 of a playoff series. It's just been fun to watch that. And then you contrast that with guys jogging up and down the court, shooting wild three-pointers and, you know, throwing the ball away. It's, you know, I understand what Adam Silver was trying to do and trying to create some competition with this team format that he had this year, but it's failed miserably. I mean, I was watching, and you could hear a pin drop in the arena. There was no fan enthusiasm. And then when they had that ceremony, they interrupted the championship game to honor TNT, which is all well and good. But it took so long. Yeah. They showed some shots of the crowd. And there were empty seats everywhere. People just left. They were bored with what they were saying.
It was. I can find a pickup game right now today after this show, finding kids play first to 40. I mean, it was a horrible idea when you have the MVP of the turn, Steph Curry. You know, the highlight was him hitting the half court shot, but having 12 points or whatever it was to win the MVP, it was embarrassing. I very rarely agree with Draymond Green's assessment of much. But I think he nailed it, and whether or not the NBA liked it, I think it's embarrassing, Mark, that we've come so far. I'd rather see the cherry picking lack of defense, East versus West, than seeing anything that these little tweaks and gimmicks that all leagues are actually trying to figure out. Every league's All-Star game has an issue. Fans are still watching when they want to, but to have to incentivize players to play hard or even play at all. I mean, the fact that LeBron was able to pull out 2 hours before, Anthony Edwards was able to pull out, and they weren't able to name replacements in time, I think that's a bad look too. I don't know if the NBA can fix it. I do think I agree with you. The U.S. versus the world probably is the format to think about Jokic and Wemby and Giannis playing together on one team. That's entertaining. And to know, you could see the Wemby, like, he was genuinely upset about the lack of effort at times. He got ripped on for bringing a book to the locker room by Jokic because that's what he does before games. These guys didn't have a shot at trying to break records, like Draymond said. They didn't have a shot at going for scoring records or being part of some kind of all-star game history, except for being part of a gimmick, and I just think it's a bad look.
Yeah, I'm sure Adam Silver was cringing when they asked him, how would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, and he said 0. That was a great comment. The one problem is you're going to have, though, no matter what the format is, these guys make so much money now, and they're all friends.
Yep.
You know, it used to be that players from other teams didn't really fraternize that much, and there was some genuine dislike for players on other teams. Now, with the way guys come up through the AAU circuit and everybody's buddies, and, you know, there's no real rivalries anymore, their biggest concern is, where's the parties at, and make sure I don't get hurt. And I do empathize with the injury risk. I mean, you would hate to see, you know, a team that's got a chance for a championship or a player that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year get hurt in a hotly contested All-Star game. But there is a middle ground, and I think that's where maybe the USA versus the world would kind of ramp up that pride, because you know, no matter how much money you offer them, it's pretty insignificant to the top players. They're making so much already. We'll give each player $2 million if they win. Yeah, that would incentivize some guys, but I think for the top stars, it's not that big of a deal. I think that the only thing you can do is try to make it a format where, you know, guys care enough. You know, you mentioned Wemby, and when he came in that game yesterday, everything changed. Mm-hmm. You know, he blocked a couple of shots, he's running up and down the court, he's trying to help on defense, and you could see he kind of picked up his team, and they played hard for a stretch of time. And it's good for the future of the league that a guy that is going to be one of the faces of the league cares that much about competition. But I think that they've got to go USA versus the world and then hope that that sparks enough competitive fire that the games are more interesting. You know, when I was a kid, I used to look forward to all the All-Star games. I mean, I even liked the Pro Bowl back then, which,
same,
you know, the dearly departed Pro Bowl, that's turned into a flag football game. But, it's tough to get these guys to play all out. I understand it to a certain degree, but at least play a competitive game that fans can get behind and create some excitement for the crowd, because it was horrible how bad it was in San Francisco last night.
Well put, Mark. It's always good to talk to you. We appreciate the
time. You're the best,
pal. Yeah, one of these days we got to get the whole gang together. You know, I have a big reunion. We can do it in the basement of the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, it's vacant. It's open.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. We could actually go above ground. I hear they have good spaces up there.
Yeah, there you go. There's an idea. We'll submerge from the depths of despair.
Until then, I will admire your work inside on ABC7 with the Bulls, always doing a great job on play-by-play for Windy City and the Bulls and the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, where you guys have an incredible set, Mark.
Yeah, check out the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. Stacey and I have a good time, and we have a new show every week, so we encourage people to check that out.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll talk soon, buddy.
Yeah, good talking to you both.
That was Mark Schanowski. Nothing gets past him. You know, I used to call him Mark Quality Control Schanowski at NBC Sports Chicago because he's the best.
I'm telling you, we had a lot of inside jokes, the two of us, between our little inside, being the Walmart greeters.
That I do
we,
not.
We at one point said we were going to have lights that blinked with an arrow that just said, keep walking.
People like you guys.
Keep walking.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break the news. Your social batteries had to be charged. We have more coming up. We have time for one high noon story, and Ryan McGuffey has a whale of a story.
Boom.
It's next.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Yeah, that's right. We do it every day around this time, and what's crazy is high noon is really close to high noon this time. So you don't have Dan and Marshall. They are off for President's Day. Instead, you have Ryan McGuffey of Inside the Clubhouse and Layla of The Show Tomorrow. So you have...
I love that show, Tomorrow.
Yes, you have quite the story for us on high noon.
I mean, it's made the rounds out there, but in case you got lost in the holiday shuffle of the weekend and took a few plays off.
I did.
I've heard. This coming from Chilean Patagonia, where a humpback whale briefly swallowed a kayaker whole.
And then?
Spit him out. Whole. Oh. Whole. And the kayak. It's all caught on video.
This
the
is
dude's
how Moby
dad
Dick
was filming. The dude's dad was filming. It looks very frigid, and I have the temperature of the water. I ask why he's kayaking in the first place, but a whale just pops out of the water, takes him down with it, and about a 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000 later, dude resurfaces, so does kayak. And he was legit in the jaws of the whale.
Alex Cohn is sitting there across from us and is just nodding his head no.
Here's the most shocking quote of all time.
Nope.
The guy's name was Adrian. I thought I was dead. Really? I thought I was dead. When I came up and I started floating, I was scared that something might happen to my father too, that we wouldn't reach the shore in time, or that I would get hypothermia.
Both are terrifying, but also, what was the whale thinking? Was the whale like, sweet, fish? And then he was like, ope. Nope, no, it's not. Better get rid of this.
The water is as cold as 39 degrees Fahrenheit. What are we doing?
Yeah, why are you kayaking in that is the better question.
While whale
does the whale have like a gag reflex? Did like he hawk the kayaker up like a loogie or something?
I don't want to go all scientific here, but I do
don't
believe...
Don't they just kind of like open and then shut?
They do. And yeah. The amount of water, like they're going in thinking they're bringing in, like, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of gallons of water at once. I mean, if you could swallow a human and a kayak whole, think about the capacity to bring in. So I'm sure as soon as he was like, what the hell is this? Boom.
He really went ope. The whale was like, ope.
Like, I don't like it was probably the human. He's probably lucky the kayak existed at that time.
Well, but the kayak probably made him look like a fish to the whale.
I don't know if the whale was... I think the whale might have seen a fish and just was going in for a little lunchtime. And while whale attacks on humans are extremely rare in Chilean waters, whale deaths from collisions with cargo ships have increased in recent years, and strandings have become a recurring issue in the last decade.
I know we talk about the text line, but 847, whale did the old hawk to a...
That's good.
Are we allowed to say that?
That's good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Could you imagine, though? First of all, no, I can't. And secondly,
this is how the great sea tales occur. Like, you build a whole story around this because nobody could hold you accountable at the time.
This sounds like something Hemingway would write about.
Correct. And, like, next thing you know, you've been inside the whale for, like, a month. But was he scathed?
No.
Like, did he get hurt at all?
No, there's a full interview with him. He's fine.
He's completely fine.
He's fine. He's
fine. That's the weirder part, right? Like, you didn't get scraped on a tooth or something? Like, what, you're on the whale's tongue? Ew. What happens there? I need to know.
He was quickly assisted. Despite the scare, both returned to the shore uninjured.
Credit to the whale. That whale didn't have pride. That whale was like, nah, this isn't for me. Whoopsies.
I have a new vacation spot for you. I think it's the Chilean Patagonia.
Listen, if I could explain to you that I am not going to be part of kayaking in nature, I need to further reiterate that detail. You know what I want to see in Chile? The penguins. Southern Chile is so close
to
Antarctica.
I would love to go.
There are penguins. I want to see them.
I'm not kayaking. I don't like this sentence right here. It's frigid waters pose a challenge for sailors, swimmers, and explorers who attempt to cross it in different ways.
That means a no for Layla. Like, it's frigid waters mean Layla's not going.
That is like a Hawk Harrelson. What are you doing?
Wegner. Watch out.
What are you doing?
Watch out with the whale.
Here you go.
You knew there would be some Sox talk in here somewhere.
Here you go.
Did I text Guff last night about the White Sox opening day starter? Yes,
she
did. I did.
I can confirm that she did. Yep.
Yeah, listen, that's... I just want to know.
Jonathan Cannon.
Got on.
And there's your White Sox talk for this edition of the Bernstein and Harris show.
Ozzy calls him Canon. I love that.
I know. I don't understand. His name's Jonathan Cannon. He's got wavy blonde hair.
Doesn't matter. It sounds cool.
El Canon. El Canon.
Canon is how he says it. Yeah, Canon would have the tilde above the top.
White Sox.
I'm being told this is too much White Sox talk, guys. Speaking of baseball, we will get into it coming up next. Ken Rosenthal came out with a banger earlier today, and he goes in on the north side. We're not just doing this because we talk about the Sox. Ryan McGuffey, Layla Rahimi in for Dan and Marshall on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.